I'm Dick Gordon. This is the story. In the mid-60s, Bill Perkins decided to join the Marines and go to Vietnam. Just before he left, he got into a fight with his best friend Craig over a girl. The two of them never did patch it up, and they never had that chance to grow old together and laugh about it, because soon after Bill arrived in Vietnam, he was killed. His death and that silly little unresolved quarrel over the girl have stayed with Craig ever since that time.
When you have someone die in war like that, someone really close to you, and you don't get a chance to say you're sorry and make amends, you know, sit down, smoke a joint, have a beer, and talk it out and have a good laugh about it. We didn't get to do that until I started researching what happened. There were many times when I doubted my own memory of those times, when I tried to think to myself, well, did you guys really have that fight? Did that really happen, or are you just making that up?
Craig decided to do some research. He learned that the quarrel was, in fact, real. But much more than that, he discovered film footage shot by his friend, which opened up new windows and understanding about Vietnam. This is a story that's grounded in the controversy over Vietnam, the ideological division between those who served and those who did not go. But it's also a personal story about two young men, good friends, one who died young in Vietnam, and the other who spent the past 40 years trying to make sense of what happened. It all began in the mid-60s. Craig Ingram and Bill Perkins were teenage pals in the San Fernando Valley. They swam together at the beach, chased girls, and as Craig remembers it today, they did the kind of silly thing that we only do when we're with the closest of friends.
Bill and I would go over to his house and we would lip-sync to Motown records in front of the mirror in his bedroom. So, oh my God, I still remember us lip-syncing Baby Love by the Supremes. And doing the Temptation Walk to Supreme songs and just cracking up. And it was just the greatest thing because we would sing in falsetto. And the world really was, as corny as it sounds, the world really was our oyster back then.
Craig and Bill and another friend, Jim Pretty, were living a pretty straight life then. Craig was a good Catholic boy. He studied with the priests. Bill and Jim knocked around town in their Madras shirts and their Pendletons. The Vietnam War was on people's minds, but this was 1966. It had not yet become a national obsession. Even so, Craig remembers the day that his friends, Bill and Jim, showed up with their startling announcement.
I was out mowing the front lawn on a Saturday morning, and Jim and Bill pulled up, and one of them, I can't remember who said what, but one of them said, "Hey, Ingram, guess what? We joined the Marines." And I just laughed and said, "Yeah, right, sure you did." And the other one said, "No, man, we really did." It was like a diamond shot through my heart. I knew one of them was going to die in Vietnam. I just knew it. I was completely shocked. They had no idea what they were getting themselves into.
Craig Ingram knew that Bill Perkins came from a family with a history of military service, but he recalls that the main reason Bill signed up was to study motion picture photography with the military. Bill eventually wanted to make movies. Craig remembers that they decided to simply enjoy the time that they had left together before boot camp.
That 2 months ended with us going to a party, and it was kind of a send-off for them. Everybody was going to be there. And about a week before the party, I had sex for the first time with a girl named Denise. I didn't know that Bill had a crush on her. I just thought we were all mutual friends. You know, it was the 60s. We were having fun. In fact, she seduced me. I actually hadn't had sex yet until this happened. She was cool and she was fun and she was smart. And I had no idea that Bill really, really liked her. I parked my car against the curb and I looked. The house where the party was about three houses up the sidewalk. And there were, you know, a dozen kids or so milling around out in front. I got out and I got up on the sidewalk to walk that way. I looked up and there's Bill up by this group of people running straight at me as fast as he can. And I thought, well, that's pretty funny. What the hell is he doing? And I was a football player. You know, I was 220 and rock solid. And Bill was 165, maybe. And here he comes as hard as he can. And once he got about 20 feet away from me, I realized he wasn't joking. And he tackled me and took me to the ground. I had no idea. What the hell is this all about? And He was cussing me out, using every cuss word in the book. He was kicking me and hitting me, and I just put him in a big bear hug, you know, and held him as close to me as I could so he couldn't do any damage. And I was yelling, "Bill, what is it? What's the matter? What is it, man?" And we finally scrambled to our feet, and his eyes were raging red, and he had tears streaming down his face, and my heart was broken. His heart was broken. I still didn't know what it was. And he had a few more choice words for me, and he turned around and went back for the party. And Jim Pretty was standing there. And I looked at Jimmy and said, "Jimmy, what is it, man? What did I do?" And Jim said, "You know, Craig, it's Denise." And I just, oh, man.
Did you feel at that moment like you had betrayed your friend Bill? I mean, you knew he had a crush on her, right?
At that moment, I found out he had a crush on her.
Oh, you didn't know before that?
No. If I'd have known how he felt about Denise, this never would have happened.
Bill Perkins and Jim Pretty left to join the Marines the Monday after that party. Craig Ingram never got a chance to say he was sorry or even say goodbye before Bill left. I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Story. Craig went on with his life. He started performing with a band in San Francisco, drifting in with the people who wore their hair long and protested against the war. One day he was back in the San Fernando Valley, visiting with his parents.
I walked in the door one afternoon and my mom said, "I got some bad news for you." And I looked at my mom and I said, "It's Bill, isn't it?" And my mom handed me the paper and there was his picture. And it said, "Local Marine dies in Vietnam." My mom had a little bottle of Johnny Walker scotch up in the cupboard. And I looked at that picture. I started reading. I didn't even finish the article. And I went in there and I grabbed that little bottle and I went out in our backyard. And I sat in the weeds and I drank that bottle. And I just laid back in the weeds with my head spinning. And then I went out to my room in the guest house just fell out.
Were you mad at Bill at that point?
Not at all. I was really sad that I had hurt him so deeply and didn't even know it.
And what about the self-pity side of it? Because, I mean, we all give into a certain amount of that. Were you feeling sorry for yourself that you hadn't made things right with Bill before his death?
I think getting drunk like that, indicative of a certain amount of self-pity, I suppose. But mostly it was just anger. I was real pissed off. I just kind of went into a fog, which followed me back up to San Francisco. And that's when I dropped acid for the first time, was after Bill died, and started me on a long, strange trip. But that was the thing. Why? Even when I was sitting out in the weeds drinking that bottle, I was just saying over and over to myself, why?
Did it harden your political views in any way?
Absolutely.
Much later, Craig Ingram learned more about Bill's death. He heard that Bill had thrown himself on a grenade to save his fellow Marines, an act that earned Corporal Perkins the Medal of Honor. Years passed, and Craig says he still wondered about Bill. He eventually got in touch with Jim Pretty, the young man who joined the Marines along with Bill.
I had a phone conversation with Jimmy Pretty, and Jimmy expressed his doubts about what really happened and how it really happened. He wound up by saying, "I don't know, man. I just don't know." And nobody in our circle, none of his friends, really knew what had happened. All we knew was that it came out that he had thrown himself on a hand grenade, saved the lives of there were three or four other Marines who were right next to him when he did that. And that is the event that really put the bug in me to find out what had happened. And that's when I began my search.
Craig Ingram knew that Bill had taken some 16mm film footage while he was in Vietnam, so he set out to find it.
And, you know, back then we didn't have the internet. I certainly didn't have a computer. So I was doing everything by mail and telephone call. So first thing I did was I wrote to Camp Pendleton and I talked to the base librarian. And they were very helpful and told me that I should check with Norton Air Force Base. Unfortunately, they had closed Norton Air Force Base. But I called out there and I got the base librarian. And he said, "You know, since we've closed the base, we've destroyed a lot of that footage that was shot in Vietnam." And my heart just sank. He said, "But you should try the National Archives." So I tried the National Archives, gave her Bill's name. When he was in Vietnam, and she said, "Well, I'll call you back." And about 45 minutes later, she called me back and said, "William T. Perkins, Jr.?" She said, "Yes, we have 19 reels of film here with his name on it."
The discovery of the film also set Craig on a path to meet some of the men that Bill served with and the men he'd saved. As the Bush administration enters its last week, we're already hearing the arguments about America's involvement in Iraq. What was accomplished? Has it been a waste of lives on both sides? It's a familiar argument. These are the same questions still being asked about Vietnam. A few years ago, Craig Ingram decided to search out some answers of his own by making a documentary about his close friend Bill Perkins, who was killed in Vietnam. Corporal Perkins had been trained to work as a motion picture cameraman with the Marines.
He was holding a 16-millimeter motion picture camera, and he crawled forward and threw himself on the grenade and wrapped the grenade into his chest, still holding his camera. His camera, which was in the Marine Corps Historical Museum in D.C., and they took it out of it. It was in a display window for 27 years, and they took it out of the display window for us for the documentary. It was very generous, and I got to hold Bill's camera with all the shrapnel holes through it. So you can really, you can see it was blown, one side of it was blown off, the lens was blown off. There was just no chance that he would survive that.
Craig Ingram and Bill Perkins spent some of their best years together as friends in Southern California. Craig's decision to learn more about Bill's death in Vietnam led him to refresh his teenage memories, like the time they'd scuba dive together off Malibu, and the one time Bill went down into a hole.
And suddenly, out of my left peripheral vision, I saw this shadow coming towards Bill down in this hole. And it was a bat ray, and it was a big bat ray. through my mask and snorkel, I was going, Bill, and of course he couldn't hear me. And this thing is getting closer and closer. Well, he didn't see Bill, and Bill didn't see the ray. And suddenly Bill turned, and he was getting ready to come back up. And as he turned, he saw the ray, and the ray saw Bill. And it was like an old Road Runner cartoon when Road Runner and Wile E. Coyote would see each other, and they would freeze. And then Bill looked up at me, and I swear, his eyes looked like ping pong balls through his dive mask. And Bill got up to the surface, and he looked at me and goes, "Did you see that thing?" And I said, "Yeah, man, I did." He goes, "Let's get the hell out of here." So we were freaked out, and we were laughing. And I swear to you, we ran with our hands and knees with all our gear and crap across that kelp bed, ran up the sand, threw ourselves on our backs, looked at each other, and just started laughing like we would never stop.
40 years after Bill's death in Vietnam, Craig Ingram was still troubled by their last moments together. See, the two men had fought just before Bill left for boot camp. It was an argument over a girl. And for decades, Craig had wondered, was that real? He found the answer to that question in a stack of letters that turned up in his research for the documentary.
The third letter was a letter from Marine Corps Recruit Depot in San Diego. And in that letter, it said he'd finally gotten his mailing address from the Marine Corps. So he had it written in the letter, and he said to his mom and dad, "Please give my address to so-and-so and so-and-so." He named two or three people. He said, "But don't give my address to that jerk Craig." When I read that letter, it really hurt, but it validated all of my feelings through these years. I suppose in a way it's trying to deny the reality of this wonderful young kid dying in Vietnam at 20 years old. My buddy, who I never got a chance to smoke that joint with or have a beer with or just talk it out.
Craig Ingram was telling me earlier how he tracked down the film footage that his friend Bill had shot. A woman at the National Archives gathered up the film, made copies, and sent a package off to Craig.
I had to go down to FedEx to pick it up, and I had this, went in there and paid for it, and I was really excited. And the most amazing moment, I put that package under my arm as I walked back to the parking lot to get in my car, and my old buddy was there beside me. And it was beautiful, and I felt it, and it was quite emotional. And there was about 50 minutes of his film, and I put it in my VCR and just sat there. And I can't even explain the feeling. When you bring a part of your life from 40 years back like that in images shot by your friend, it was an amazing feeling.
What did you see? I mean, was it landscape photography? Was it combat photography? Did Bill's face appear? What did you see?
The first stuff that I saw, he was actually, I think that might have been the stuff from Khon Tien. And Khon Tien was really a terrible place to be. In fact, I've gotten an email from Marines who had fought at Khon Tien. It was horrifying. It was muddy and bloody. It was just terrible. And that was footage that Bill shot of them moving wounded guys into an aid station, an underground, and you know, an aid station, just like you see in the movies, you know, just like in Platoon. There's an opening that has got sandbags all around it. This guy had been, he had bandages all over his arm, so he'd been burned really bad. It was some sort of an explosive incident. And they're bringing this kid into the aid station, and Bill was right there in front of him. Then a little while later, Bill's filming another kid being evacuated from the battle. And he's on a stretcher, and of course there's four guys, one on each corner of the stretcher usually. And this kid was awake and smiling. And he turns towards the camera, and this happened a lot. Bill made people laugh. So as you go through his footage, you see a lot of people laughing, Vietnamese people laughing. Bill was a handsome guy, and he was flirting with the Vietnamese women. And you see them pointing at him and putting their fans in front of their faces and going like, go on, and laughing. And well, this young Marine who was on the stretcher and all torn up looks up at Bill, and just as he's given Bill the thumbs up, one of the guys on the back end of the stretcher trips, and his helmet falls all over this kid, like falls across his face and across his chest. And just then, Bill stopped filming. He probably was stopping filming so he could go over and lend a hand. And God, that little piece of film is maybe 3-4 seconds long, but that was indicative of the Vietnam War. Well, that sums it up right there. You know, evacuating a wounded kid, and they drop him on the stretcher, and the helmet falls on his face. Well, if that ain't the Vietnam War, you know.
Craig Ingram went on to contact the men who'd served with Bill Perkins, men from Operation Medina, the same mission where Bill had been killed. Craig was invited to a reunion of those veterans, and Craig was able to show them the footage he had from Bill's camera.
We sat him down, and we filmed them watching themselves on Bill's film from 40 years ago. They'd never seen it. And it was unbelievable. So we're filming them, watching themselves in Vietnam. That was amazing. You know, they were like, look, there I am. Yeah, man, I had hair back then. Yeah, look, and you weren't fat. Uh-huh.
I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Story. Craig Ingram is a West Coast musician whose search for the details of a buddy killed in Vietnam led him on a journey to find out what he could, and even to meet the Marines who'd been there when his friend Bill Perkins was killed. Since Bill had been a combat photographer, he was always moving from unit to unit. He'd only known the Marines in Operation Medina for about a day before he was killed. Craig interviewed one of them, a man called Dennis Antall.
I got introduced to Bill waiting for the choppers to come to pick us up on the tarmac. And I kind of said, out thinking out loud, I said, well, that's different. I said, where's your rifle? Or what are those cameras going to kill? It's kind of jokingly, and he thought it was a joke too. And then I said to my buddy Mike, I go, there's a California boy.
Dennis Antall is one of the Marines who was with Bill Perkins when he died. So Craig Ingram used his recollections in the documentary he produced, a film called Above and Beyond.
You know, in the movies, you see a guy, somebody yells grenade, and somebody jumps up and sprints towards a grenade and throws it. It wasn't like that. As Dennis describes, Bill was crawling on his hands and knees. And he just crawled out 5, 6, 7 feet in front of Dennis and the other 3 or 4 Marines who were laying there.
I think somebody behind me yelled grenade. Well, I got down, and it seemed like it took forever getting down when I just covered my head. I was already laying on the ground. And I looked up, and Bill was in a crouching position and kind of on his knees. Landed on the grenade. He didn't have to. He could have got down. And I remember I put my hand on Bill. Fred Boxer was saying, how is he? And I rolled him over.
And then Dennis puts his hands on his chest and pulls his hands away from his chest in a sort of an exploding motion, and Dennis says,
this was all gone,
you know, so his chest was gone. He was, you know, Bill was dead. And that was amazing to those guys, because they, you know, they didn't know him, and here's this Marine that they just met who just saved their lives. And now every Thanksgiving, when Dennis Antall and Mike Cole, when they sit down to have their Thanksgiving dinner with their sons and daughters, They say a prayer for Bill and remember that if it hadn't been for Bill, those sons and daughters probably wouldn't be there.
That's and learning that Bill had died this heroic death. I mean, there was that moment when you thought that Bill had just died as a result of someone tossing a hand grenade at him. And then you learned later that he'd done this heroic act. Do you remember sort of hearing that for the first time and how that changed your perspective of Bill in Vietnam?
First of all, I was, immensely proud of him because it is the ultimate sacrifice. But it hurt, and it hurt even more when I was interviewing Dennis Antal particularly, because in the documentary when he said Bill could have gotten down, and Dennis says this with tears in his eyes, Bill could have gotten down, but he didn't. And instead of getting down, he went forward. Marines are hard chargers. And he was serving his country. He was being a good Marine. And he charged forward. So I don't fault him for that, but it pisses me off. Yeah. But it's okay.
Is this a way for you to honor Bill, to have his footage seen?
Absolutely. This is giving honor to our friend. If he was alive right now, he would be making movies. That's what he wanted to do. There's this beautiful picture of him back at Fort Monmouth Motion Picture School, and he's behind a 35-millimeter sound camera. It's a motion picture camera. It's the same camera they were making movies with back in the day. And he's looking through the lens, and it's the most beautiful picture. And when I think of Bill now, I think of that picture of him behind that 35-millimeter motion picture camera. I picture him working for Spielberg because he was a beautiful photographer. One of the nice things about doing all the research was being able to see the footage that he shot and the still photographs that he took. He was becoming a beautiful photographer. I'm just real proud of him. I'm proud to have been his friend. I'm proud of what he did, and I'm proud of the artist that he was and was becoming.
Craig Ingram says the research that he did taught him something about Bill Perkins' political views as well.
In his early letters, he refers to the Vietnamese as gooks, as did most Marines. But, a month later, he's taking pictures of people out in the villages, and he's referring to them as the Vietnamese, which for a young Marine in 1966, 1967, who is in combat, seeing the death and the destruction, the horrors of war, for him to actually be able to make that leap from referring to who he surely thought were his enemy and calling them gooks to referring to them as the Vietnamese people. I really regret that he didn't come home so we could discuss these things. It seemed to me he was really going through some kind of metamorphosis, and I miss the fact that we can't sit down like you and I are talking right now and talk about what's gone on in the past 8 years.
I asked Craig Ingram if he knows what he'd say if he could see his friend Bill again.
I'd say, Bill, I got to talk to you about Denise. I know you're not going to believe this, but she seduced me, I swear. And he would probably laugh and we'd have a good time over it. I would say, I really like Denise, but I didn't know. And that's where we'd start. Yeah.
Craig Ingram joined me from a studio in Southern California. You can learn more about his documentary, Above and Beyond, and listen to original music by Craig that's featured in the film. It's all at our website at thestory.org.